Revelation chapter 2, verse number 1. The first letter, and that is the letter to Ephesus. Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write these things, saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them that are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne, and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored and hast not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. But this thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you so much for, Lord, this precious, precious book. And Lord, thank you for our Bible. Thank you for preserving it, protecting it, Lord. Thank you that we can go to it with great confidence, knowing these, Lord, are the words of God. And Lord, I pray that all of us would benefit from our time here. Lord Jesus, help us to love you more. Oh, we're going to talk about that. God, help us to love you more. Help that to be the priority, the number one motivation of everything that we do, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that you would help us to be careful to guard against forsaking that first love and forsaking those first works. And Lord, I pray that you'd use this. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. I'll give you a little timeline. The young people left out on a Thursday, and then they arrived on the reservation the Saturday before Father's Day, and were able then to get things organized, set up, ready to go. And then they ministered in the churches on Sunday with Brother Nez there. And what a blessing you young people were to the Nezes. Thank you for reaching out and being such a blessing. I think we've mentioned this, but continue to pray for Mrs. Ness. She's going through a very difficult, challenging pregnancy, and she's dealing with some outlying health issues, and they're trying to get her to August 4th. If they can get her to August 4th, then that's when they're scheduled and plan to take the baby. There may be a little bit of complications with the baby boy, and so it's all things we can pray about. We all know that that they're in God's hands. But I wanted to give you a little bit more of a target date to pray for them. And then on Monday, Brother Nez and his wife actually had to drive all the way down to Phoenix. They're having to take every Monday and take a trip down there and do a day's worth of doctor's appointments. And that's going to continue between now and when she has the baby. So you can imagine that on top of it. And Brother Nez was so thankful, Brother Gordon. When I talked to him on the phone and he explained this, I said, listen, why don't you guys take off Sunday afternoon after the second service, and why don't you just head down there? And I said, I promise you, Brother Gordon and our crew, VBS will be in good hands. And there's also a guy coming to help by the name of Bart, and he'll see that everything is done properly and right and in order. And it was just such a blessing to them to be able to not even have to worry about that. Then to come back on Tuesday, and Brother Nez plugged right in and preached Tuesday in VBS and Wednesday in VBS. And I believe 14 saved. Is that the number that you got? 14 young people received Christ as their personal Savior. And it's hard for me to really put that in perspective, folks, because, I talked to Brother Andy when the first time we went out there, and he said, you know, the idea of 14 Native American young people getting saved would be like 50 people from our young people from our area being saved. It's a miracle, folks, if one of them gets saved. And he said there's many ministries that'll go an entire year and won't see 14 people saved. And so that was just incredible, more than probably we can understand. And then, of course, I was there on Tuesday and Wednesday for the service, and then the young people left out Thursday morning. Thursday and Friday, I was able to drive around the reservation and visit 9 different missionary families and their works, and to be able to actually see their works. I drove to them, didn't ask them to come to me, all except one missionary that couldn't do that, so we ended up meeting for lunch where I didn't get to actually see. But folks, it's amazing, and I could go for some time on what's happening on the Indian Reservation. They've been approved for 5 radio stations in the last year, and so the money's already there to be able to get those things in the next 2 years, probably take about 2 years to get them up and running. They've already launched an internet version of their radio station, and that will be the same station that will be playing on all 5 towers. And so they've got an internet version already launched, and new church plants, new missionaries that I'd never met before that have just arrived, young people surrendering. I visited on Thursday and Friday, and then on Saturday was able then to drive down and pick up Cheryl, and then she was there with us, and we were in 2 churches on Sunday preaching, and then camp on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday, and boy, we had a time. We had a time. They had me preach in the mornings, and I did actually my knife-making demonstration all 3 services, which I've done in several churches, but never at Blessed Oak Baptist Church. We're going to have to take care of that one of these days. But that resonated with the kids, and it was a good thing. And then preached every night. Ended up having 9 more young people receive Christ as their Savior during the camp, and then 3 young men called to preach. And there was also a slew of other decisions. Brother Joel Haynes texted me on the way home, and he said, "Brother Ross, from you being here last year at camp and this year at camp, 2 years combined, we had 23 people saved in those 2 years, with 10 young men surrendering to preach the gospel. 7 from last year who were there this year again and talked to them, committed to it still planning on doing it. Some of them getting ready to enter into Bible college, and then 3 more also. And so just a great, great time there at the reservation. I don't say these things lightly, but I will tell you this. Every once in a while, a handful of times, and I don't talk much about it, but you'll get into a service where people talk about, "Well, I've lived my whole life and never seen a Holy Ghost revival." I want to say this. I feel sorry for you, because you know what? God's not dead. And I'm tired of people talking about the only way you can read about it is read about it from some book back in the 1700s. You know, God still, if we're willing, is willing to send revival. You have to understand the native young people are very reserved. They're very kind of backwards. They're not ones to speak out even in front of people or anything. And the Lord just built that thing all during the week. And Thursday night, we had a service where I think probably the top 3 or 4 services I've ever been in, where I've just seen the Lord just sweep the place. And I don't know how to explain it if you've not seen it happen. Some of you that were with us down in Arkansas a few years ago saw that last service and saw very much that. But for young people that are never will stand up publicly and hardly ever say or do anything, at the end of that service, me and my wife sat there and listened for over an hour, young person after young person stand up and commit their lives to Christ, dedicate their lives, surrender their lives, pledge to serve God with all of their lives for their entire life, just one after another. Then the preacher's coming up broken. That was a part of that, recommitting to serve in their ministries, in their churches. And, you know, it was a combination of young people and the adults there. And it was just one of those things where, again, you kind of just take that and you just say, "Thank you, Lord, for just letting me be here to see this." Because we know that those things come from the Lord. And so just a very unusual closing message. And I'm praying that God will take that, cement those things into their heart, bring this forward, because we need, honestly, we got 10 young men now surrendered. We probably need about 50 young men total to go to the reservation, either from the inside or from the outside. We probably need about 50 more churches to really cover the Navajo Nation, the Hopi Indian reservations in the middle of it, the Zuni Reservation, which, by the way, Russell Aaron and Jason Herod has been down there working for 13 years trying to just break into that reservation. They're like almost like Jewish when it comes to a protection of their culture and their religion. And three Zuni teenagers for the first time ever came to camp. And it's just hard to describe to you what that was like. And two of those got saved. The two of them got saved. And for the first time, they built a relationship with a non-traditional Zuni who owns a commercial building on the main drag. And they're going to get a foothold in there, Lord willing. These are two missionaries you've not met before. By starting an RU program on Friday night, and the tribe has seen benefit to that because of the addiction problems. And then they said, we'll also have a follow-up meeting every Sunday morning. And so I kind of like that, amen. So a little follow-up meeting on Sunday morning. And just amazing. And listen, folks, did you hear that, young people? 13 years. And now they just got the first kids to ever come to camp, Zuni kids. And they've, outside of the two that got saved, they've only ever seen, I think, maybe one or two others saved from the Zuni tribe. So, I mean, it's taken 13 years building relationships, going in there. They go into there, and they're both pretty athletic, tall guys. And they play basketball down there with them. And just building relationships, getting to meet people, showing up, knocking on doors, introducing themselves. And I feel like that what Brother Haynes, I'm talking about the elder Brother Haynes, Mike Haynes, and some of that crowd that came in there, and even ones earlier than in the 1940s, 50s, 60s, that broke the fallow ground up at the Navajo Indian Reservation, and now these younger preachers are starting to reap the benefit of it. I feel like that's what Aaron Russell and Jason is doing in the Zuni, and I think that that's honestly what Andy's doing. First time ever, Brother Andy was able to bring a teenage young lady to a Hopi to the camp. And so we had Navajo, we had a one Hopi, we had three Zuni. And I told Mrs. Nez that, and she said, an Indian war is going to break out. An Indian war is going to break out if we keep this up. And so I said, well, let's just keep it up, amen. Because if we get them all saved, they'll be brothers and sisters in Christ. It'll be all right anyway. And I'm going to give you wanted to give you that. Thank you so much for your prayers. Thank you so much. We could feel it. And I will just say this, and I want to get into it. We're not going to go long tonight. But it was such a joy to have Cheryl with me on this trip. And I mean that. And they liked it because they said, I'm so much better behaved with my wife there. Really not that much, honestly, but at least a little bit better behaved with my wife there. Oh, we had such a good time. Brother, and we're going to have Brother Joel Haynes. He's going to be with us this coming February, and I want you to meet him. He's Mark Haynes' son, and he has started three churches. He's on his third church and turned the first two over to other men to pastor. Just a remarkable young man. You're going to enjoy meeting him. And he's the one that God gave him the vision of the camp. And the man has a tremendous vision. I really, you pray for Brother Joel Haynes. There's some men that are just visionaries, and there's some men that, you know, just see a bigger picture, and he's just one of them. But he told me, I got to tell you this quick story. He told me, he said, Brother Ross, I don't know if you feel up to it, but he said, if we can drive the truck back down this one canyon, and he said, way at the end of this canyon, we'll have to park, we'll have to hike back about 2.5-3 more miles. But he said, there is some old cliff dwellings that are back there that hardly anybody knows about. And, you know, if you've ever gone to see some of them, usually it's at a park or something where you can stand and you can look from about 100 yards and if you got binoculars. And I said, are you kidding me? I said, can we get up in them? He said, oh, yeah, you can climb up in them. He said, it's not easy. I said, let's go. And I said, I need to get in shape anyway. And so we went all the way back there, and I've got a video of it. I'll probably show you sometime. And it was quite the hike back in there. And then we had to climb up the edge of this cliff and into where these things were. And then we had to come up a kind of a sheer face for about another 12, 15 feet. But, you know, come on. After he pushed me enough, I finally got up there, pushed and pulled and all of that. But, no, I made it. And to be able to stand up there and be in one of those places, are you kidding me? I mean, it was so neat. So we're standing there, we're talking about it, we're looking at all this, and they have all of the some of the writings on the wall. I mean, it is incredible. And some of the enclosures, brick enclosures that they would store food and be able to stick your head in there and look around. I mean, just be there was incredible. And then I took a video of it all. At the end of the video that I'll show you, I turn all the way 360, and then I go back to him. I said, this is Joel Haynes. He's the one that brought me here. And if I don't get out of here alive, here's the guy that killed Jerry Ross. And all of you churches, drop him for support, okay, if he kills me. Well, we're kidding. And then we start climbing down, and it starts raining. And then we start walking out, and it just unloads on rain. I mean, unloads. And we were walking through some pretty just dry stream beds. We had to cross the same stream about six times while we were walking. And the first one, it was a little wet. And then the second one, there was some water in it. The third one, it was a little deeper. And the fourth one, it was getting deeper. The last one, we had to wade almost to our knees to get across. And this water, you know, they talk about the flash floods out there when they get the big rains. And all of a sudden, you know, you've heard these horror stories of all of a sudden the canyon becoming a river. And, you know, and so we get to the truck. Well, the problem is we had to drive through the same creek coming in about five times. And so we went through the first one. It was, at first he wasn't sure. And I said, come on, even the devil hates a coward. Just floor it, son. And I don't know if that's in the Bible, but it worked, you know. And he, wow. And he like, wow, that was fun. By the time we got the next one, it was deeper. We went through it. We get to the third one, and he's looking up. He said, hold on. And it went over the hood of the, yeah. And then we got to the fourth one, and by this time, this thing is raging. Well, the fourth one, it wasn't just a matter of crossing it. We had actually driven down the stream bed to get there for about 50 yards. And he was looking at that. I got out and I said, bro, listen, I pushed you up to this point, but I don't want you to run your truck for one thing. Plus, you know, it's one thing to race across, guys. It's another thing to decide you're going to go down it when it's almost, you know. And now, if it had been us, come on, we'd have went. But I didn't realize how fast this thing kept getting up. And he finally looked at me and watched that thing. And he said, I'm going to pull the truck up here as high as I can get it. He said, we're going to have to hike out of here. And so I said, are you serious? He said, yeah. And so anyway, we pulled the truck up to where the water wouldn't get to it. And then we had to end up hiking another, I don't know, mile and a half or so out. And we were soaking wet. I mean, just that it had poured on us. And I was laughing so hard. He kept apologizing. Are you kidding, man? This is incredible. This is awesome. And I had to wait till the next day to be able to get another guy's truck, let the thing go down, to be able to go back and get his truck. His was a Ford, and he didn't care who took him as long as it was another Ford. He did not want a Chevy to go rescue his Ford truck. And he was very adamant about that. I mean, come on, guys, that's a big deal. I mean, that's important right there. And so he found a guy with a Ford truck, and then I think they had a Chevy pull the Ford back there so that they could get the other Ford. And anyway, crazy times, but a good time, and praise the Lord. So I made it back to the motel just sopping wet and mud all over me and changed and fast as I could. And Cheryl's like, where you been? I said, I just got to get in the shower and get back there. I got to preach, man. He said, we won't start without you. And I thought, of course you won't, because I'm preaching, amen. And so anyway, it was a good time. I want to just focus in on two things tonight. We look in verses number 2 and 3 of this letter. And I taught this all the way through and just did, a solid overview. But we see the commendations. This is what impressed the Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, did you hear what I said? Let's stop, time out. This is what impressed the Lord Jesus Christ when it comes to elements in the local New Testament church. I don't know about you, but I think we ought to pay attention to that. And so I won't reteach those, but their works, their daily sacred duties, their labor, extra projects that took extra sacrifice and effort, their patience, and intolerant of evil. Hey, remember, folks, love sinners, lift up the sinful, but there's a difference between evil and sin, and we're supposed to be intolerant of evil. Ability to biblically discern false teachers, borne trials patiently. And I love that little phrase, for my name's sake, have labored without fainting. This is a list any church would be blessed to have said about them, and works and doctrine and steadfastness and discernment and patience and faithfulness. These early Ephesians set the standard for all of us. And then we get to verse number 4, and all of a sudden, the tone of the letter changes. He says, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. And then in verse 5, remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent and do the first works. Watch this. Is this important? These two things, despite all of the things that impressed the Lord, how big a deal was these two things to God? He says, you better remember from whence thou art fallen. He considered not being where they ought to be in these two areas as have fallen. The church has fallen. Wow. And he said this, in order to get back where you used to be, it's going to require repentance, not excuse making, repentance. Okay, not trying to defend the way we do things now, repentance. And then he said this, do the first works. And if you don't, or else I will come to thee quickly. In other words, I'm not putting up with this very long. Okay, a church that starts down this road. By the way, Ephesus, a lot of good things. I think from the outside looking in, anybody would have drove by and went, wow, that's a busy church. That's a scriptural church. That's a church that stands. That's a church that knows the Bible. However, despite all of that, God said, you don't get these two things straight. He said, I'm going to come and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. I think these two things all of a sudden become so heightened in importance then, because we realize, folks, we can go through the motions, be doing a lot of things right. But if we don't keep these two things right, then you know what? Pretty soon we won't be what we are now. And I just feel like, Blessed Hope Baptist Church, this is good for us. Because I feel, as I mentioned 2 weeks ago, that in many ways, I think, when I talk about these things, you know, this church is now almost 50 years of age. It's generational. You know what? We've got a lot of mature Christians in here with Bible knowledge, and we have new people. We should have new people. But this church has been here. It's got a solid reputation, and it's been standing for years. And I feel like if you just look around, come on, folks. I don't know who's doing what. I don't check on everybody else, but I doubt if there's any church or too many churches more busy than we are, just trying to do everything we can to reach the lost and to do the things we ought to do. However, the condemnation is twofold here. Jesus personalizes this condemnation. I have somewhat against thee. Okay, it's one thing for somebody in the town or the county or the community not to like something about Blessed Hope Baptist Church. And I always laugh because the people that seem to know the most about Blessed Hope Baptist Church has never actually been here, but welcome to small town America, amen. But you know what? When Jesus says, I have somewhat against thee, he's the one that's in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. And so, you know what? Of course, he knows. He knows. And so what is this matter of leaving their first love? Well, we briefly touched on these last time. I want to focus in on these two things and just for a few minutes. Jesus said this in answer to a question in Matthew chapter 22, verse 35. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him, saying, Master, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. The second is like unto it, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Then this amazing statement, on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Think about that. The whole Bible hinges on these two commandments. And think about that. I believe that when they left their first love, all of a sudden, something they begin to love more than they love God. Watch this. Their love motivation shifted to something that should have been a byproduct of their love for God. A byproduct of their love for God. By the way, all the things that I'm going to mention, there's nothing wrong with us loving these things. You know, here was the two great mistakes. Number one, They were busy serving the Lord, but had left their primary motivation. What is their should be our primary motivation? We do what we do because of our love for God, because we are obeying the first and great commandment. And then secondly, they were busy serving the Lord, but had forsaken their primary objective. Let's talk about those two things, all right? Number one, they were busy serving the Lord, but had left their primary motivation. Let me ask us all a question. It's fair for all of us. Why do we do what we do for the Lord? You know, here's some things that someone might say. If we weren't in this portion of Scripture and I just had not laid the groundwork and I went around and said, hey, why do you go soul winning? You know what you might say? You might say this, because God has given me a love for lost people. By the way, that's fantastic. I mean, again, everything I'm going to mention is not a bad thing, but it can become a bad thing if it becomes our primary motivation. I was talking to the missionaries out there, and one of the questions I asked, and boy, I just met with every one of them, had a whole list of questions. I want to learn everywhere I go. Hey, I don't know what's going on out there. I don't know what their challenges are. And I learned so much, just honestly, almost just notebook page after notebook page. It was such a blessing. But I said, what about this matter of missionary retention? And what do you mean? Well, how many people in the last, I met with Brother and Mrs. Forrester. And he came in 1974 as a missionary to the Navajo Indian Reservation. Guess what? He's still there. He's still there. And married a MK, a missionary kid out there. And they are both still there, okay, serving the Lord. I asked, what about this matter of missionary retention? Why is it that so many? Now, young people, I want to share this with you, okay, because you just experienced this. This is fresh on your heart. It's easy to go out there and literally just say, man alive, somebody needs to come out here and do something. These people, and really fall in love with the people. It's very easy to fall in love with the people that live on the reservation. It really is. And, you know, I think a lot of times the problem with missionary retention is they go out there and they take a couple visits and they get involved and they get to see some people saved and they get a burden for the lost, even a love for the lost. But, folks, if you go out there and that is your primary motivation, you will not stay. And, by the way, what I said right there is good for people that are in the bus ministry here or take a Sunday school class or take one of our missions, Operation Occupation, mission fields. You know what, folks, listen to me. It's good to love the lost, but that ought to be a byproduct of loving God. That's the second great commandment, not the first great commandment. Because sooner or later, you're going to find out lost people aren't always as lovable as you think they are. Okay? And all of a sudden, the same people that just, you know, it's easy to go on a missions trip for a short amount of time. But you go out there and come on, like these people have, and park yourself for 20 years, you know what you're going to find out? You're going to peel all the layers back on that onion. You're going to find out there's a lot of things going on there. And listen, what I'm saying is this. We cannot lose our primary motivation for loving the Lord. Love the lost. Love for young people. Preacher, I love what I'm doing because I just love young people. Well, I'm glad you love young people. But if that's your motivation, you won't stick with it. Hey, you won't stick with it. I don't care what part of the ministry you're in, what any of our young people you deal with, whether it's bus ministry, youth, or whether it's Sunday school class or whatever. Listen, folks, it's got to start with our love for God. And that love then produces these secondary loves, which are fine. Watch this. But what if those secondary loves raise us up and our love for God all of a sudden diminishes into second place, third place, or sometimes really diminishes and goes away? That's not going to keep you in it. Okay? Love for bus kids. Well, I joined the bus ministry because I rode a few times and those little kids, they're so cute and they're so adorable. And yeah, they are until they're not. And that same little bus kid said, I love you, Brother Jerry. I hope that you be my bus captain forever. You know, 3 weeks later, kicks me in the shin, cusses me out, and won't come back to church. Amen. Welcome to the bus ministry. I hope that's not your motivation. Come on, think about it. And by the way, is it good to have love for bus kids? I hope so. I mean, I hope everybody in this church, I mean that. Shame on you if you don't love the bus kids. But that can't be the number one love. You see, the first love has to be the first love. You know, somebody asks you, why do you drive that bus? Because I love God. Why do you visit on Saturday? Because I love God. Why do you teach that Sunday school class? Because I love God. Oh, by the way, because I love God, He's opened it up, His love in my heart, to some other things. But my primary, first motivation, come on, Christian school volunteers, you know, oh, I want to be a monitor. Yeah, you all, everybody does for the first quarter. Then all of a sudden you're going to figure out it's like anything else. It's work. It's sacrifice. People that do it year after year after year after year, you know what? It's not because all of our kids are so lovable all the time. It's because they made a decision. You know what? I love God. This is what God's put in my heart to do, and I'm going to do it first and foremost because I love Him. That'll keep you in it, folks. Listen, love for the ministry leaders. Let me talk to some of you that are being ministered to. You know, well, I'll tell you why I'm going to try to do right. It's because Brother Young has invested so much in me, and I don't want to disappoint him. And, man, he's made a difference. Because Brother Gordon has invested in our life. And well, that's great. But if that's your primary, you won't be here in 5 years. Well, I just don't want to disappoint our pastor. I love our pastor, and I come to church because pastor's kind to me. And if that's your as high as you're going to get, that's you know what God says? I'll come get your candlestick. It better be something more than that. It better be a higher motivation for that. See, all of these are wonderful byproducts, but none of these should be our primary motivation. If we keep our first love first, then our love for God will spill over onto everyone else. However, if our love for God becomes secondary to any of these other loves, then you place yourself at risk of becoming a used-to-be Christian worker. You know what, young people, I hope this trip drew you closer. I sensed it. By the way, I listened to all of the testimonies. I listened to Brother Gordon's sermon afterwards, and it was all so good. And we had plenty of time to listen. I listened to Revelation all the way through 4 times out there and made my wife listen to it 1 time on the way back. Amen. And so when you got 20 some hours, you got a lot of things you can do. And we listened to the testimonies, and they were wonderful young people. They were. And I liked that the trip drew you closer together. And I think that you built relationships, and obviously it made you feel closer to those that sacrificed to go with you. But if it didn't draw you closer to God, then we failed. Then we failed. Look right up here. We failed. Okay? And one of the things I like, Brother Gordon, I want to say in the message that you preached after the testimonies was you said, I kept asking the young people, what is God showing you? What is God teaching you? And listen to me, that's what good leadership does. It just wants to point. Listen, follow me as I follow Christ. I mean, come on, we're just both journeying the same direction. That direction better be towards Jesus. Let's fall in love with Him. Let's fall in love with God. I want you all to think about that. I mean, from the time you left to the time you got back, can you honestly say, preacher, that experience drew me closer to God? And if not, can I say this? The opportunity was there. The opportunity was there. So be careful. I'm glad we started this evening with the communion service. I'm glad Brother Jeff texted me and said, hey, you still want to do that? Yeah, absolutely. Why? Man, you talk about a good illustration for the message. What's this whole thing about? Come on. What's it all about? It better stay about Him. Okay. Preacher, why do you push yourself so hard? Because I love God. Because I love Jesus. Oh, I heard such a humorous story. Brother Hiles was driving Brother Rice and his wife to picked them up at the motel and was driving them to a meeting. And he's listening to them in the back seat, acting like a couple of lovebirds. Okay. And Mrs. Rice said to John R. Rice, she said, do you love me, John R.? And he said, yeah, yes, I love you. Yes, I love you. And why do you love me, J.R.? Well, because I love God, and He commanded me to, and so I love you because... Now, none of you ladies right now are thrilled with that answer. Look right up here. You ought to be thrilled with that answer. You ought to be thrilled with that answer. I know you'll never find that written in a Hallmark card. And husbands, if you write that on a card with flowers, you'll probably get them thrown at you. Okay, all right. Hey, listen to me. There's security in that. Okay, if I love you because of what you are, then you know what? You may not always be that. But if I love you because, number one, I love God, and because I love God, if you love me, keep my husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. I know you say, preacher, I don't know if I'd give that answer. Hey, I think that's a great answer. Are you getting that? That's what happened to this church. Busy, busy, busy. Boy, let's start another ministry and let's reach out. Hey, how about a new bus run? Can we take on board missionaries? And God's looking at their hearts and says, where's your hearts? Where's your hearts? Where's that relationship we used to have? Where's that closeness we used to have? You know, where's your love? Where's your love? Be careful. Be careful. Okay? Let me move on to the last one. They were busy serving the Lord, but had forsaken their primary objective. Well, brother, who was it? I think Brother Josh prayed and thanked the Lord for all the ministries. So we're going to start a new one tonight. You know, we've tried so many different things. And, you know, I think that this would be a great ministry. And so, you know, it's amazing how the Lord speaks to you when you're driving 20-some hours on the road. And so we have good fire departments in our area, but why not have a Blessed Oak Baptist Church fire department, okay? I've always wanted to kind of be a fire chief, and so why don't we just go ahead and do that, all right? And so I need some guys that would be volunteer fire department. Okay, Max, Jonathan, why don't you come, and Samuel. Okay, you three. We'll start with these three. We don't even need a ladder, and we got some. And we don't need a fire hydrant either. And I know. I'm so mean. All right, gentlemen, you willing to be a part of the fire department here? Because you know what we got to do? We got to put out fires and save lives. Are you guys for that? All right. Now, the problem is not all of our time is going to be spent doing this because, obviously, you know, unless Eric Harrison is around, you know, pyromaniacs starting fires, there is some downtime around here. And so, you know, we're going to have to stay busy. So I'm going to assign you some chores, okay? I'm going to put you in charge of the food. Okay, so three times a day, you got to go into the kitchen and you've got to make sure the rest of us have a good meal. And so you're in charge of the food. You got that? You're the cook, okay? Now you, I'm going to put you in charge of making sure that the fire engine is maintained and cleaned. Come on, take it out, wash it, do all of that. So you're going to be in charge of taking care of the fire engine. And you, my friend, yes, my friend, you're going to be in charge of checking all of our life-saving equipment, okay, to make sure it's in working order. So let me ask you a review. What's your job? Cooking. All right. What's your job? Maintenance. What's your job?
I got to take care of the safety equipment.
Wrong. 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 This is so subtle, folks. It's so subtle what happens in a church. That's not your job. What's your job? Amen. Putting out fires and saving lives. What's your job? What's your job? Listen, you know, I tricked him. But isn't that right? Isn't that what we want in the church? Preacher, I want something to do. Well, go soul winning. No, I want a job. Go soul winning. Get involved in a soul winning ministry. No. You know what you want? You want a title. So that when somebody asks you what you do in the church, I help in junior church. You know, I help in Wednesday Bible Club. I teach a Sunday school class. Folks, listen to me. They were busy. Well, we're talking about the first works. Think about this, folks. You know where what the first works were? The first works were the last commands of the Lord Jesus Christ. Think about this. When Jesus told them to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Think about that. All right? They had gotten real busy. They'd gotten real busy doing all kinds of things. There's a lot of activity at Blessed Hope Baptist Church, a lot of activity. By the way, didn't I say that the secondary love was not bad? Hey, we've got to have the fire truck running. And it's nice if it's clean. Hey, I want to eat. Hey, when we get there, the equipment has to work. But you know what? Sometimes Can you imagine? Here's the thing. All of a sudden, you guys get it in your mind that that's your job. Then the bell rings. And I come sliding down the pole because I've always wanted to do that, man. And I holler at Jonathan, come on. He said, no, you don't understand. I'm the cook. That's how I serve the community. That's how I serve our fire department. Come on, Max. He said, no, but I got the truck washed for you. Should run fine. Do you know what? A church can have all kinds of things going. By the way, that's no different than going down to the rock and roll church. They got a million things going. They have so many activities and so many things, but they forgot the primary objective of the church. You know, I tell everybody the ultimate goal of the Christian life is to be like Jesus. Well, what did Jesus do? The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. What did our general give us as last marching orders? Here, it's very simple. He says, I want you to teach all nations. Teach them what? Preach the gospel, Mark said. Teach them how to be saved. Baptize them. Okay? And then teach them everything whatsoever I've commanded you. Christ-likeness. Teach them Christ-likeness, which, by the way, includes the primary objective, which is to reach people for the Lord Jesus Christ. Folks, listen to me. I'm going into more and more churches out there, and you know what? Boy, just a buzz of activity. Just a beehive, and this going, and that going, and this going, and that going, and this going, and that going. And now we do this for the community, and we go pick up trash, and we've got a food pantry. Did I say any of those secondary things were bad? But if the church is doing all of that, and they're not getting the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ out. Do you realize, again, you want to look down and see the seriousness of this. You can be doctrinally sound and have left off doing the first works. You can be able to spot false teachers. You can have endured patiently suffering in trials and tribulations. But folks, listen to me. If we ever get away from the first works, thank you, gentlemen, the first works, then you know what? Jesus Christ could look down at Blessed Hope Baptist Church and he could say, you know what? You've lost your first love. Okay, it's all become about, come on. I've never been closer to my youth group than I feel right now. Great. How close do you feel to Jesus? Is it wrong to be close to your youth group? No, that's great. But I think so many times all the things we're doing is drawing people together, but are they drawn to the Lord? Or if we're not careful, come on, leaders, drawing them to us and not drawing them to God. How many of you young people, I want to ask a question. I was so excited. I almost jumped up, Brother Brian, I almost jumped up during one of the invitations and grabbed one of those little Navajo kids and took them out and just wanted to lead one to the Lord. And I started to do it and I didn't. I've done that a couple times before. I wanted our young people to have that opportunity. How many of you young people got to lead someone to Christ during the VBS week? Would you stand if you got to lead someone to Christ? That's awesome. That's awesome. Isn't that neat? Isn't that neat? Who'd feel comfortable coming and just telling real quick, you don't have to go long into it, but real quick, just a little bit about it, what day it was, maybe if you remember their name and all of that, could you do that? Which of you girls would like to do that? Would you do that? Nathaniel, I'm going to drag you up here, buddy. All right, let me just have these three come up here. Go ahead. Tell about that experience.
It was Tuesday night, and I don't remember his name, but I think he was 10 years old. He came on one of the vans, and his heart was so broken over the sin that he had done. And the whole time he was just crying, and he was so glad that Jesus came to die and save him.
Amen. Thank you. Come on up.
So this was Monday night, the first night, and her name was Irina, and she was six. And she sat in the front row, which is very, very very great, and she almost cried, which was such a blessing, but she looked at me and she told me, she's like, my mommy's not saved. And it broke my heart because my mommy's not saved. And I was like, I know how you feel. And it was just a blessing to lead her to the Lord.
Hey. I think it was Wednesday night, and a lot of the kids, they would raise their hands at the invitation, but normally how we do it, have them come up and be dealt with and kind of sort them out. They were kind of too shy, a little standoffish, and Brother Chad kind of pointed us to the kids, and the one young boy that I got to deal with was, I think it was Tenacio or something similar to that. And he was about 10 years old, and just dealing with him, asked him if he knew he was a sinner. Yeah, I've done wrong. I understand that. And do you believe that Jesus died for you? Yes. And he was just very excited that God loved him. And that just made such an impact on me, that just being able to be part of that and see the excitement in his eyes that he could go to heaven. He didn't have to worry about that anymore. It's pretty exciting.
Ooh.
Ooh. Y'all did a lot of things out there. That's the most important. All the other stuff have to be done? Yep. All the other stuff lend towards that? Yep. 14 young people that, if the rapture happens tomorrow, not only will not have to go to hell, but won't have to go through the tribulation period. That's got to stay Blessed Hope Baptist Church's first work. First work. That's most important. Does that make the secondary ones not important? No. Remember, we're talking about first love, first works. But if we're not careful, we're going to be walking around saying, I'm a cook, and you know what? I clean the fire truck, and I watch over the equipment. And we'll find a little place where we can plug in, and we will quit doing the first work, hiding behind a secondary work that is important. But excuse me, look right up here. Is not as important. Or Jesus wouldn't be threatening. If you don't agree with what I'm, some of you are wrestling with that right now, you better read this story again. This was red letter words. This is Jesus' view of a local New Testament church. Brother Ness came to me, and I got to finish with this story. And he said, of course, Mrs. Ness, we're doing everything we can, weren't we? Trying to keep her just stay seated. She's supposed to be off her feet. She's not supposed to be doing a whole lot. She comes in. You see her up. By the way, she got to take one of the little girls out, lead her to the Lord. I thought, thank you, Lord, for that, you know. And she come to me afterwards, and she told me something I didn't know. She said, Brother Ross, you don't know how hard this is for me. I know what the doctor said, and I'm trying to do the right thing. But she said, you see, when I was 9 years old, I got saved at a vacation Bible school on the reservation over in the church there in Ganado. And she said, you got to understand with that experience, how that changed my life. Hey, you know what? You may not remember their name. Wouldn't it be pretty cool if you got to heaven and found out, if the Lord tarries, one of those, that little boy, those two little boys grew up and became preachers. Okay, 4 or 5 years from now, they come to that camp and they surrender. They end up being a Ryan Nez or something like that. Wouldn't it be neat to find out that little girl ends up being a preacher's wife or just a faithful, faithful soul winner in one of the churches? Okay, folks, let's be careful. Now look right up here. First love. First work. 1,000% has to stay first. Has to stay first. Okay? All these other relationships, all these other things, great. We need them. But let's keep first things first. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for meeting with us.
Lord, thank you for the testimonies I just heard. What a blessing to be able to have our young people come back and share an experience that they had winning someone to the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, I pray that that would not be something that they forget or treat lightly. Lord, I pray, dear God, that you would cement that experience into their heart and their mind. Lord, we pray for those that received Christ in BBS, those that received Christ during the camp, those that have given their life, dear God, to do the first works. 10 young men preaching the gospel. May they do it because they love you. Lord, grow them into that level of motivation, desire, determination, because then they'll stay with it. Lord, I pray, dear God, that you would help us to guard carefully at this church the candlestick that God's given us. And Lord, I believe, Lord, that you'll bless it if we keep our first love and if we keep the first works, the first works. We pray these things in Jesus' name.